Our scripture lesson this morning comes from Daniel chapter 7. Daniel chapter 7, beginning to read at verse 9 and reading through verse 14. Hear the reading of God's word, the word of God with all authority and power. As I looked, thrones were placed, and the Ancient of Days took his seat. His clothing was white as snow, and the hair of his head like pure wool. His throne was fiery flames, its wheels were burning fire. A stream of fire issued and came out from before him. 1,000,000 served him, and 10,000 times 10,000 stood before him. The court sat in judgment, and the books were open. I looked then because of the sound of the great words that the horn was speaking. And as I looked, the beast was killed, and its body destroyed, and given over to be burned with fire. As for the rest of the beast, their dominion was taken away, but their lives were prolonged for a season and a time. I saw the night visions, and behold, with the clouds of heaven there came one like a son of man. And he came to the Ancient of Days and was presented before him, and to him was given dominion and glory and a kingdom, that all peoples, nations, and languages should serve him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion which shall not pass away, and his kingdom one that shall not be destroyed. The grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of the Lord endures forever. Would you pray with me once again? Our Heavenly Father, open our hearts and minds that we may behold wondrous things from this your word. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Are you a last-minute shopper? If you are, some of you are shaking your heads already. Oh, me, yes, I have more shopping to do. If you are, maybe you take theological comfort in a passage like that, which comes from Galatians 4. It tells us, when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth His Son, born of a woman, and under the law, just in the fullness of time. Of course, those of us who are planners, those of you who are early shoppers, you might like to point out that while God is never early, He plans what He does far, far in advance. We know those prophecies concerning the Lord Jesus Christ, the prophecies in Isaiah, the prophecies such as the one we looked at last week in Jeremiah that promised the righteous branch from the house of David. This week we want to look at another promise of this glorious divine Messiah. This one talking about the Messiah as the King and speaking of His kingdom. Look with me at this passage. We should take a few minutes to give the context of this passage. In the first part of chapter 7, Daniel sees vision of four beasts. And these beasts have power in the earth. Some commentators connect these beasts with the nations of Babylon, or the kingdoms of Babylon and Persia and Greece and Rome, from other visions in Daniel. I won't try to make the identification of these beasts. There are differences of opinion, but what I want to emphasize is the contrast between these earthly kingdoms, for the text later on in this chapter tells that these are kings and kingdoms. I want to put the contrast between these earthly kings and kingdoms and the kingdom that we're going to focus on, the kingdom that we read about in our text today. There are a number of things we could say about this kingdom, this eternal kingdom presented in the text. First, we should say something about the character of the king. We're told in verse 14 that dominion and glory and a kingdom was given to him by the Ancient of Days. In other words, his kingdom was not established by human power and striving and scheming. This kingdom was granted, was given by God, the Ancient of Days. But perhaps the most interesting part of the description of the character of this one was that he's called one like a son of man. One like a son of man. Now that phrase, just son of man, is used elsewhere, for example, in Ezekiel. But this is a little different. It's one like a son of man. If you have your Bibles, I would encourage you to look with me in Psalm chapter 80 and verse 17 to see the idea, connected with this. The psalmist is lamenting the defeat of Jerusalem, and then he gives expression to hope in verse 17. Psalm 80 and verse 17. But let your hand be on the man of your right hand, the son of man whom you have made strong for yourself. This deliverer is chosen by God and empowered by God. In Daniel, this one, like a son of man, is given a kingdom. He is a king, but it's not like an earthly kingdom, for he is no ordinary king. In Revelation chapter 14, and Revelation reflects much of the vision that we see here all through the book of Revelation. But in chapter 14, we read, "Then I looked, and behold, a white cloud, and seated on the cloud, one like a son of man, with a golden crown on his head, and a sharp sickle." Obviously, this is no mere man. And the kingdom is not an earthly kingdom. It's a kingdom of God. Maybe to get a better feel for this, we can talk about the scope of this kingdom. Look again at our text. In verse 14, we're told, "To him was given dominion and glory and a kingdom that all people, nations, and languages should serve him." It's not just one people or one region, but people from all languages and nations will be a part of this kingdom. It reminds us of Psalm 2, where God says concerning the one that he addresses as his son, "To him a kingdom will be given from all the peoples of the earth." You see, God promises to give the nations to his son. That's the scope here. All nations, all peoples, all languages. That's the scope of this king. In Revelation 7, we're given a picture of a multitude that no one could number, from every nation, from all tribes and peoples and languages, standing before the throne and before the Lamb. You see, that's something we have a preview of that here when he talks about thousands upon thousands and 10,000 times 10,000. Now, if you had your calculator, you could do your math there on that picture that's given in Daniel. But even that is not big enough. In Revelation, we're told there's a multitude that no one can even number. That's this kingdom. That's who will be in heaven before the Lamb of God, the Savior of sinners. Notice also the duration of the kingdom that goes right along with it. His dominion is an everlasting dominion which shall not pass away. Other kingdoms come and go, but this kingdom is an everlasting kingdom. It will be forever and ever. That's what the Ancient of Days is doing. He's given an everlasting kingdom to this one who is like the Son of Man. This kingdom will be forever. You see? I like one of the poems of Shelley. Shelley is not one of my favorite poets, but I like some of his, and one of his curious poems, or at least curious to me, is a poem, Ozymandias. And it tells about the platform or the base of a great statue. But just the base is there, and on the base, these words he gives in his poem. My name is Ozymandias, King of Kings. Look on my works, ye mighty, and despair. This statue of the proud king had crumbled in pieces. And in the poem, Shelley goes on to beautifully describe that as far as the eye could see, there was nothing but desert waste. You see, that's something of what the Scripture says concerning mankind. There are places where Scripture says human life is like a breath. And if kings and their kingdoms are for a short time, how much more the ordinary person? But I want you to see the contrast of this kingdom. It's not a breath. It's not an earthly kingdom. It's a kingdom that will last forever and ever. That's the kingdom that we're talking about. And you see, that's the picture that we have of the Lord Jesus Christ. Again, in the book of Revelation, you see, He is pictured. He describes Himself, as a matter of fact, in Revelation 1. I am the one, the living one who died, and behold, I am alive forevermore. Because He is alive forevermore, because He has triumphed over death, because He has an everlasting kingdom, because He is life itself, He gives everlasting life to His people. That's what we have the picture of here. We have this picture of the one who will have an everlasting kingdom. And the text also speaks of the glory of the kingdom. In verse 14, to Him was given dominion and glory and a kingdom. Sandwiched between the dominion and the kingdom, we have this idea of glory. This too is reflected often in the book of Revelation. In Revelation chapter 5, these words, to Him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb be blessing and honor and glory and might forever and ever. He's worthy of honor because of who He is and what He did. There is the picture of Jesus. Think of that. Think of those pictures in the Old Testament. The ones that God made king. Think of someone like David. God made David king because he was a man after God's own heart. And God allowed David to win great victories and to get honor through those victories. If that's true of an earthly king, how much more true is that of the Lord Jesus Christ, whose heart was in perfect harmony with that of His Father. He rejoiced to do His Father's will. Who had the greatest victories over sin and Satan and death. To Him honor and glory belongs, because He is the Savior. He is the glorious King. And the glory of His kingdom will be seen fully in heaven. We have glimpses of that now, but particularly in heaven, we will see a kingdom in which there is no sickness, no sorrow, no sin, no consequences of sin, no death anymore. You know, kings and politicians make promises. Sometimes they keep the promises, sometimes they don't exactly keep the promises. Is that true? But no one can make and keep the kind of promises that we have here except the Son of God, that He would take away all sickness, all sorrow, sin itself, and death. That's the glory of His kingdom. That's what He promises to His people. But I've saved one other little thing. I think something that's perhaps a twist. I imagine most of you would say, well, yes, I kind of knew all of that. Preacher John, you haven't really told me anything that I don't already know, at least somewhat. But there's another part of this text. That is what I call the giving of the kingdom. Now, I've already made some reference to one aspect of that. The kingdom is given by the Ancient of Days to this one who is as a Son of Man. But that's not what I'm talking about here. The text goes on to talk about the giving of this kingdom, the kingdom that's given to the one who is like a Son of Man, the one that we know as the Messiah, Jesus Christ. It goes on to talk about the giving of this kingdom to His people. And I want to emphasize that. If you have your Bibles, I hope you will open your Bible again to Daniel chapter 7. And then I'm going to read just three more verses. In verse 18, we read, "But the saints shall receive the kingdom and possess the kingdom forever, forever, and ever." Notice the repetition, the emphasis. Do you think He's trying to say this kingdom that they're going to receive is going to be something like forever? And then look down a few verses in verse 22. "And the time came when the saints possessed the kingdom." And in verse 27 we read, "The greatness of the kingdoms under the whole heaven shall be given to the people of the saints of the Most High. Their kingdom shall be an everlasting kingdom, and all dominions shall serve and obey them." Now it seems pretty clear that this kingdom is the same kingdom, the same eternal kingdom given to one like the Son of Man. But now it speaks of this kingdom being given to His people. Not an earthly kingdom. It's a kingdom forever and ever. We're used to the New Testament talking about the kingdom. We're used to thinking about, well, enter the kingdom. Or we're even citizens of the kingdom. But this perhaps is a little different. We don't usually think about being given this kingdom. What does this mean? Of course, it emphasizes the idea of grace, that God gives this to us. It's not something that we attain, not something that we accomplish. It's a gift of God. But it's more than that. It's the greatness of what He has given. The greatness of what He has given to us. We see that other places, but I'm not sure it really registers that much. For example, in Matthew chapter 25, Jesus is talking about the great judgment, and I think here in Daniel we have a preview of that same thing, where the Ancient of Days is on the throne. And Jesus talks about, he speaks to the people and what they've done and how they've responded. And in that day he separates them as sheep from the goats. He says to go to the right hand, to the left hand, and to his people, he says, inherit the kingdom prepared for you. Now, usually we focus on the other part of that, what the people did to get to that point, but I want to just focus on that. If you inherit something, it's yours. Isn't that right? If you inherit it, it's yours. That's what he's saying about the kingdom. Inherit the kingdom prepared for you. Or perhaps even more striking is Jesus' words to his disciples. Words of encouragement. I believe words that we need to hear and ponder today. In Luke chapter 12 and verse 32, fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. That's what we have in Daniel. Jesus is the King. He accomplishes the kingdom. He's the glorious King. But His people will be given the kingdom. That's mind-boggling, isn't it? That's mind-boggling. Not just to be in the kingdom, but those who will receive the kingdom. I admit, I don't understand all of what that means. But I think it goes along with what Paul tells us in Romans chapter 8, that we are heirs and co-heirs with the Lord Jesus Christ. The things that He will have in heaven, we will share with Him, because we are co-heirs with Him, and we will share in the kingdom. It will be ours in all of its glory. It will be ours. Do you see how that goes with the Christmas story that so often talks about the kingship of the Lord Jesus Christ? Sometimes we overlook that because we focus so much about that little baby in the cradle. But you know, that little baby in the cradle was the one that the angel said will inherit the throne of his father David. Well, there wasn't any kingdom of Israel in that day, but there was a hope of an everlasting kingdom. Mary and Joseph were in Bethlehem. Why? Because they were of the line of David, and it just so happened that a census was going on, and it required those from the line of David to go to Bethlehem and be registered. Do you think God knew about that? Do you think God planned that? Oh yes, back 500 years before. In Micah, we have the prophecy concerning Bethlehem. And so when we see a little town of Bethlehem, we're talking about the King. And oh yes, the wise men come and they worship Him and give gifts fit for a king. We pray, Thy kingdom come. We're talking about this glorious kingdom. Jesus Christ came to this earth to be Savior and King and to give His people that kingdom. What is your response to the Lord Jesus Christ? I find that some people are hesitant and halting in responding to Jesus as King. It's like, well, I don't know. I don't know if I want a king in my life other than me, of course. Let me put it this way. Yes, Jesus is King. But Jesus is the only King that promises to give you His glorious kingdom forever and ever, and ever. I remember the words of Edmund Clowney back a long time ago when I was in high school or college, I suppose, and he was talking about the kingdom of God, and he said, if you want to understand where the kingdom is, keep your eyes on the King. Now, there's a lot to that, and he unpacked it in a lecture for 45 minutes to an hour, and I'm not going to do that. I'm going to say simply this. If your conception of the kingdom is a little fuzzy and obscure, in your life, if that kingdom is fuzzy and obscure and not very glorious and not very real, then maybe what we need is to get our focus back on the King. And when we get our focus back on the King, the one who came to this earth and lived and died and was raised again in fulfillment of all these Old Testament messianic prophecies, when our eyes get back on Jesus, then the kingdom becomes real. And the hope of the kingdom becomes real. And the glories of the kingdom become more real. And even the power and the blessings of the kingdom become more real. I call you to look at King Jesus. Bow before Him to receive His blessings. Pray with me. Father, thank You. Thank You for these Old Testament prophecies. And the way they make us think of the Christmas story from different perspectives. Oh, Father, we thank You for King Jesus. Give us faith to behold Him, to believe and receive Him as Savior and Lord and King, that we might share His glorious kingdom, so that men might be delivered from the kingdom of darkness into His glorious kingdom of light. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Would you stand and by faith receive His blessing? Now the God of endurance and encouragement grant you to live in such harmony with one another in accord with Jesus Christ, that together you may with one voice glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.